you ever had something that you didn't know what the value of it was? You know, we were having a yard sale to go to Trinidad, and this lady donated tons of stuff to us. So we went and we picked up the stuff, and we brought it, and we had it out here, and we was having a yard sale, and this guy came up, and I guess he knew what he was doing, and I noticed he's going through all the CDs one at a time and taking a snapshot with his phone. We selling the CD at 50 cents. And when he done, he bought about a stack this high, paid little next to nothing. And I thought, what was he doing? So I asked. He was looking them up. He paid 50 cents and he was going to sell them. Some of them was 30-something dollars. We didn't know the value of what we had. We could have taken them ourselves, put them online, and make more money for our mission trip, but we didn't. I don't know how many of you watch, what's the road show called? What? Antique Road Show. Well, I used to watch it, and I used to wonder, I said, why can't that happen to me? They go to a yard sale, they buy something, and then it's thousands of dollars. They pay $3 for it at a yard sale. Or they go up into some attic where they bought a house, they find a painting, they bring it to the show, and lo and behold, they're $11,000 richer. Do we understand the value of things? Well, we're in the book of Matthew again. We continue in the book of Matthew in chapter 13. Hopefully, we could finish this chapter to move on to the next chapter. But the way how things go sometimes, we don't know. George probably would do a better job because as I was studying this, I said, this more like for a teaching than a preaching. But let's see if we could preach it this morning. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 44. I'm trying to put that TH in there. Matthew, did I get that right? Chapter 13, verse 44. We've been studying about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered it up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who when he finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it is full, men drew it ashore, sat down, and sought the good into containers, but threw away the bad. Trying. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? They said to him, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of the house who brings out his treasure, what is new and what is old. Father God, help us to understand your word as we look at it today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I try to have 3 points. We'll see how it goes. And my 3 points just come from the scripture. The hidden treasure, the pearl of great value, and the last one is the destination. When I read this, I studied it. I molded over it. I look at commentaries, and they have different, there's two fields. Two different fields, and I didn't agree with them, so I'm going with what I believe I see in the scriptures. Now, if I am wrong, You don't have to point it out to me now. Come to me later. And then next week, I will apologize. All right? So here we go. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found when he happened upon it. I see this as how God deals with lives. Some of us got saved not because we were searching for anything. Some of us got saved like me. I was walking in the marketplace. They had a revival. For some reason, I stumbled upon it. I heard the word of God, and right there, I realized that I had found something, and I had great joy. Some of you are here this morning, and that's how it happened to you. It was like Paul on the road up to Damascus. You were going about your own business, doing your own thing, and guess what? Bam! There comes Jesus. Face to face, and you realize, I have found something of great value, and you were joyous. I remember when I got baptized. Folks, you think I'm calm now. But I remember I was getting baptized, and I was so excited. I get in the water. And when I came up out of the water, the preacher had to move out of the way. I was swinging and dancing and shouting. I was so full of joy. Listen, I could imagine that person that is bought this house, went up in the attic, got that painting, took it to the road show, and when they say $10,000. Now, listen to me. These people, they don't know how to get excited. I watch the road show, they go, ooh. Not me. Listen, when they say to me, that is $10,000, I would have been, woo-hoo-hoo, woo-hoo! You know, I'd have been wild. Why? I got something of great value. I would be joyous. You see, when you face to face with Jesus, when you have an encounter with God, let me tell you something. The joy of the Lord is going to be within you, and you're going to get excited. What did the scripture say? He says, the treasure was hid in the field, and when a man found it, he covered it up back. And then he went and sold everything he had so he could buy that field. We see an unexpected encounter with God. Then we see an unbelievable joy. Then we see an understanding of its worth. Do you understand the worth of what you've got? Do you understand the worth of the Holy Spirit living in you? Do you understand the worth of Jesus Christ dying on the cross for you? Do you understand it? That this man in the field understood it, and he understood it well, because he said, there's nothing I have that can compare to what I'm getting. If I could go, I will give up everything I have so I can have this. And that's what Jesus calls us to do. He calls us to give up everything we have so that we can have Christ. If we would understand the value of what you got, you will relinquish the things that are separating you from God. This guy understood. He said, you know what? What I'm getting doesn't compare to anything I have. I can separate myself from what I have, because I know when we sit between those lawyers and I sign on the dotted line, that feel is mine. And it doesn't compare to what I've had. Praise the Lord. Second, the first person had an unexpected encounter. The second person was searching. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearl. You know, many times when I used to go down to Macon to evangelize, I would find people who say they don't believe in God. And I would say to them, if you search it out and you really want to know if there is a God, if you would spend time and search it out and cry out, you would find God. Some people are searching. And I believe when your heart starts searching, God will reveal himself to you. He says, a merchant was searching for fine pearl, who when he found a pearl of great value. So there's a search going on. Are you here this morning and is there a search in your heart? You're wondering, where is God? Is there a search in you this morning wondering, is God real? I've been believing this thing for so long and I've been praying for this and I've been praying for that and it's not happening. Is God truly real? Do you have a search in your heart this morning? Well, I want to tell you there's a revelation. Because this man searched and he found the pearl. And listen what he did. When he found one pearl of great value, he went and sold all he had and bought it. He surrendered. How many of us realize the worth of the pearl that we have and willing to surrender everything in order to have it? Now, this is not talking about we purchase salvation. We can't purchase salvation. That's not what the text is talking. The text is talking that when you find Jesus, or when Jesus finds you, however you want to look at it, are you willing to surrender everything? This man, if I was to put a scripture with this man, I would put, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual worship. Do you really know the worth of what Christ has done for you? Have you accepted all the word of God has said to you? And you're ready to live for God, you cannot do it unless you surrender everything. You have to let go of everything. You see, what our problem is, we put value to things in our lives and we don't realize the value of those things does not compare to what God has for you. You see, these people here in this parable understood. They had an understanding that we don't have and we need to get, because if we would understand the value of what we have, we will surrender. Yesterday we had a meeting for the boys' VN coming up, and there was a guy scheduled to give the devotion and he didn't show up. So they asked me, he says, could you do the devotions? And you never ask a preacher to talk. He always have something to say. And I said, yes. And I said, I talked about forgiveness. And after I finished, there was a young man in the front. When we end the meeting, he raised his hands for prayer time. And he says, I've held on forgiveness for my dad for 10 years. And when I leave here, I'm going to make it right. You see, his dad, I didn't know this, but somebody else come and shared the story with me. You see, his dad put his mother and him and his sister out on the streets, nowhere to live, 10 years ago. And he has been holding that for 10 years. But for some reason, he realized that the value of what he has is greater than holding on to the value of his pain. If we could only see the value of what we have, we can relinquish everything. The Bible says, if any man should come after me, let him deny himself, pick up the cross, and follow me. I believe this is talking about denying all that you have so that you can have Christ completely. the destination. The destination. And he said to them, wrong place, 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. And when it's full, men drew it to the shore and sat down and sought the good in containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be in the end of this age. The angel will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, in a place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Here's the thing. If you don't realize and understand the value of God, you will come to realize it and it will be too late. Why? Because there's going to be a separation. You know, we talked earlier about how he says, let the wheat and the weed grow together. But there's coming a day when there will be a separation. And why they grow together? Because right here in the church, they look just alike. Do you realize that? When the weed and the tear is growing, you can't tell them apart. And guess what? It's not our job. It's not our job to do the separating. You know, the guys pull in all the fish. Let me do some allegorical here. We have to go out and evangelize and bring them in. But it's the angel of God who's going to do the separation. It's not us. See, we want to separate, but the angel is the one that does the separation. And what is going to happen then? The Bible says, some people says, but Lord, I cast out demons in your name. Because we as believers, we don't really understand which are the good and which are the bad, because all we are judging is the fruit on the outside. And how good they can pretend and fool us. But when the angel separates, we'll be surprised who is in and who is out. Are you fully surrendered? You know, this is how some of us want to live. We want to live on the edge. Right there. You see, sin is, if I take a next step, I'll be in sin. But we want to gaze at it, look at it, contemplate it, sometimes put our foot in it, get a little wet, because, you know, when we don't go that far, we don't feel that guilty. But it's a heart issue. It's because you don't know the worth of what Christ has done. You don't know the value. Let me tell you, I don't want to go that close. I have ventured close many times, but now I'm praying, God, keep me at a distance. If somebody ain't in there, give me a rope, I'll throw it to them and pull them out. Because if they start a pull and I'm starting to fall in, I'm going to let go the rope. What is your destination, folks? Are you destined for heaven or you're destined for hell? You know, he didn't talk about heaven here, he just talked about hell. And I think they had a very good idea. There was two destinations. And I believe it was focusing and saying to you, look, folks, you have to be totally sold out for God. Halfway sold out, don't do it. You have to have a full surrender. You have to sell everything you got. If you want to be part of the righteous, you cannot hold on to what you like. You know, I'm pretty sure I have stuff in my basement I should have got rid of long time ago. You know that? I am positive. I'm positive I have stuff in my basement I took from the last house I left that I should have got rid of before I bring it to the house I'm going to. But I have some kind of reason to hold on to it. And every day I say, every time I walk down in the basement, I say to myself, self, you need to get rid of some stuff. 2 years later, I walked down in the basement and I said, self, you got to get rid of some stuff. And you know something? You try to get rid of it and you pick it up. You know you haven't used it for 3 years. And you still put it back because I may. We do that with sin. We know we're supposed to forgive. And we tell ourselves, I gotta forgive. But guess what? 3 years later, we're still telling ourselves, I gotta forgive. We know we have to love one another. 3 years later, we're still saying, I have to love. Because we have not realized that what we are holding on to does not compare to the value of what God has done for us and what's coming. You know, right after this, Jesus went to his hometown. Right after this. And there he was, gone in the synagogue. What do you do when you have something to share with the people of God back then? You go in the synagogue and he's sharing. And guess what? Some of them should have seen a hidden treasure. Some of them should have had an encounter with God. Why? He is right there. Some of them was even searching. They were looking for the Messiah, and he was right there. But they did not realize, I have found the great prize. He is right there, but yet they refused. They were too wrapped up in what they got instead of being open to what God has for them. Folks, let us not be like the folks that was in Jerusalem, Jesus' hometown. When Jesus was there, instead of they having an encounter, instead of them saying, I want to surrender all because I am in the presence of the Messiah, they had doubt, and only few miracles were done there. Verse 51. Have you understood all these things? They said to him, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out his treasure, what is new and what is old. Folks, the old and the new is pointing to the same thing. In the Old Testament, it's pointing to the cross, looking towards the cross. In the New Testament, we are looking back at the cross. To be a good teacher of the Word of God, you have to use both. I pray this morning, my prayer is that everyone here this morning will see the value of what Christ has done and able to just let everything else be relinquished. Drop it off. Stop it. Because you understand what you've got in Christ. Let us pray.